can I forgive someone who has really wronged me? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. As per usual for the course, my pastor, Pete Alwinson, has come in on Friday, comes in generally on Friday to join me as we answer some of these questions.
Check up on you.
And see if I'm still walking it. Yeah. Making sure I'm going to come to church next Sunday and stuff like that. Checking up on my tithe and just all you want is money. I know you're right. You're like every preacher.
I'm going to check the balance yeah, right. Today.
And we're, of course, kidding. Pete does come in on Fridays, and I appreciate him and his ministry more than I can say. We love to get your questions, by the way, and we get thousands of questions. The ones we consider are sent to us. You have to write them down. Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. And you can email questions, but you got to give us your regular mailing address if you want to respond. steve@keylife.org. By the way, check out our webpage. It's keylife.org. A lot of really neat stuff there. And don't use the 1-800 number to ask questions. 1-800-KEY-LIFE is to make orders, to become a part of Key Life. It's free. To get the booklet that we offer free, to make a contribution. But you got to write out your question. And we love to get your questions, and you always get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
All right. Our Father, today we do pause for a minute in your presence, and we recognize you, Lord. It's easy to get running and gunning and to forget that you are calm and serene and in control, that you are all-powerful, and that all of our answers, our questions are answered in you, and that you are all that we need. And so we pause for a minute and remember who you are. And Father, we're grateful that we're your sons and daughters, that you, because of Christ, are no longer angry at us for our sin, that our sins are covered, that we're saints, we're sons and daughters, and that you have a plan for our life that is so good. And so we worship you. We pray that you would work your plan out in our life and in your time and your way, and however you want to do that, Lord. Get us through the questioning and the complexities of our life. And we pray that Sunday would be a good time of worship and giving us greater clarity of who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Father, thank you that you fulfill us as we give praise and honor and glory to you. So make that a rich time, we pray. Be with our worship leaders as they prepare those times, and our pastors and priests and teachers who all are preparing now to lead us into your presence and to give a message to us. We pray that they would speak it strong and straight and clear and accurate. But, Father, it would be one with grace and love as it comes from the heart of God. We do commit our time to you now. Thanks for Steve. Thanks for how you've given him to us as a joyful messenger of grace. Pray that you'd keep him healthy, Lord, and use him to continue to spread the message of Jesus Christ. We commit our time to you now as we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Pete, this is from Ohio. How can we forgive somebody who has really wronged us?
You know, we usually say, well, that's really tough. I usually say, every time I see that, to forgive. But I was thinking just now when I saw that question again, faith, obedience, and raw power. You know, I was thinking, you know, to forgive somebody, why in my right mind would I forgive somebody who's really done something against me? Because Jesus says to.
Yeah, so deal with it. You've got to just ignore it.
That's right. So take it by faith, and then step out in faith, and seek to obey. But it's going to take his raw power to do it. Forgiveness is a work of God in the heart, and he will do it. Do we?
In terms of forgiving, we're not just talking about in terms of feeling. I think it's a simple act of the volition not to get back. I mean, to say I will not do that, but I'm going to hate that turkey until the day I die. Like
that's
the
right.
man who was dying and called his wife to his deathbed and said, when I'm dead, you tell your brother-in-law forgive him, but you wait till I'm dead. but we can volitionally not respond, act in a civil manner to those who have, we can make a decision to do that.
Excellent point. And I bet you in our churches we have millions of Christians across the United States who are doing that. They're not acting out, but they're mad they're angry, and it's coming out in a lot of different ways. And they're passive-aggressive in how they get back at people.
Yeah. That's so true.
You know, mad at their pastors, and they're not going to say anything, but they might, you know, needle him or do some things behind the scenes.
What's passive aggressive?
Well, you know, you're aggressive toward a person. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know exactly. But you're really going to get the guy, but you do it in a passive,
very godly, quiet way that doesn't. Do you know how I think, at least for me, the only way I can. And I'm not talking about little things. If somebody doesn't speak to me, I can forgive that pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But when somebody does something bad, man stole a lot of money from me. Not from me, but from an organization I was a part of. And it really hurt because he was a real friend. And I forgave him. But the only way I could do that was to quit looking at him and go to the cross and say, and listen to Jesus say, forgive him. Mm-hmm. In other words, he forgave me. And who am I not to forgive somebody? You can't do it until you got it, and you get it from him.
That's right. Absolutely. And I'd say don't wait until they ask for forgiveness, because a lot of people won't. They'll never come to you and say, hey, would you forgive me? But the principle of forgiveness needs to be a part of a Christian's life.
Don't you think that's a I get that a lot. Mm-hmm. People who say that you don't have to forgive unless they're repentant, unless they ask.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fool with that one. Jesus was pretty clear about that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what Jesus did. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And that's not a bad prayer for us to say, Father, forgive that person. They really didn't know what they did to me.
And they don't think they did anything.
That's right. That's right.
So that's their problem. Our problem is dealing before God with his commands, and he gives us the gasoline to do that.
That's right. And what helps me sometimes is to say, Lord, forgive them. Help me to forgive them. Bring them to Christ or to repentance if they're Christians. And if not, bring justice in your time and your way. There's the principle of justice.
Oh, God's big on justice.
But it
is business,
that's
not
right.
ours.
That's right. So, you know, can I pray an imprecatory prayer like David did on somebody? Well, yeah, sort of, but I do pray for repentance first. And then, Lord, if they don't repent, then yeah.
Yeah, right. I'd even be careful with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I do? I sometimes name the people I'm having trouble forgiving, and I say, God, would you make that a contract before you? Bless them. And make it a contract before you, regardless of my feelings. And then conform my heart to the contract. And sometimes that works.
That's good.
What's your opinion of the church growth? This is from an email, let's say. What's your opinion of the church growth movement?
A lot of people probably don't know what that means. In the 70s, Donald McGovern and Peter Wagner from Fuller Seminary and a bunch of other guys started writing about how can we make the church grow. And it was really from McGovern's missionary experience of reaching out to people. It was a good thing. What do we think about church growth movement? Jesus is for them. Church growth. I mean, you know, look at the book of Acts, and you see large numbers come into faith in Christ. If it's all about numbers, then it's a problem. But we ought not, as Christians, be against growth.
Has a lot of that developed into some of the user-friendly, seeker-sensitive? Explain what that is, and is that an outgrowth of the church growth movement?
Yeah, I think it is. A logical extension of the church growth movement is the founding of churches, which sort of appeal to the seeker. And I'm going to throw it back at you. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't throw rocks at that. I think you have to be careful. I think when we gear our church in a marketing way to certain people so that we can see growth happen, I think that can be a good thing as long as we don't lose our soul in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I think the methods can sometimes affect the theology if you aren't careful. So you have to stop lots and say, have we thrown anything out here that we should not have thrown out? Have we compromised the gospel? The truth is still the truth. Have we hedged it? Mm-hmm. Are we in any way being disobedient to Christ? And I And I think, especially if you're involved in very seeker-sensitive churches, you have to ask yourself that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the best churches and some of the largest ones in this country do ask themselves that a lot.
That's right. And it's kind of superficial for Christians to say, well, they're not really the church, or they're not trying to be the church. In some of the most of the cases, they are trying very much to be the church.
I agree with you. I agree with you. So I'm not a rock thrower. I do caution some. It's from Texas. What do you think about the World Council of Churches?
You know, that's...
Ask me what I think about the World.
What do you think about the World Council of Churches?
Not much.
I haven't thought about it in a long time.
Well, it's kind of irrelevant.
It really is now that the National Association of Evangelicals is kind of has really replaced them, I think, in terms of...
Well, the National Council, yeah, but on the world scale, it's the World Evangelical Fellowship.
I frankly don't know that much. I don't think at that level about those kinds. Sure, they accomplished some good things, but I know that they're speaking of compromise, has been.
Some major,
particularly in the body of Christ.
And when people start filling with things that are major, historic Christian doctrines, I think you've got some real serious problems.
Absolutely. My thing is, does it advance the kingdom of God? Is it evangelistic? Is it building saints? So,
and frankly, just so you know, the National Council of Churches are having to cut back on their budget. They're trying to, they're doing stuff. They're not going to, that's a dead organization. I wish they'd just bury it. It's already dead. And that's somewhat less, but still true of the World Council of Churches. And I could say, there are a lot of things I could say about both organizations that would be accurate. And I've done my research well, and I have some real problems with both of those organizations. However, why beat on a dead horse? I just don't think is honoring those organizations anymore, and they still slither around sort of like a fish that's been caught and dying on the deck of a boat. They can still flip around and stuff, but not much is happening there. We've got to make this really short, and it only requires a short answer. This is from Arizona. Do we know when Jesus was really born?
Not precisely. Probably in winter, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? But most likely in the winter. In the summer.
In the summer, because the shepherds...
We celebrate it in the winter, but really, it's probably...
So we don't know the precise date. So how's that for a short and sweet name?
June 9th.
3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, that'd be 8 at night, because the stars wouldn't have been
shown. That's right.
No, we don't know. And it's okay to say we don't know. We don't know a lot. In fact, I've said everything I know. It's time for us to leave. Pete, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it more than you know. Guys, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.